it's like actually running. So I'm run behind you, Spencer.
Yeah, you can see the image as he passed by Wayne and passed by me. So.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? We are rolling.
Okay, Bree.
All right. So for real this time, we're going to call this meeting to order. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I wanted to start with some quick Zoom reminders, since hopefully some of you have had a break from Zoom. I unfortunately am on it all of the time, but just some reminders on how the audio works and funky things. Try to keep yourself muted when you're not speaking so we don't get any weird background noise. Also, Zoom audio is not great. So really only one person can come through at a time. So I'll ask that when we get into discussion or if you have a question, you can either physically raise your hand and Leslie and I will be watching, or if you are not familiar with Zoom, you can hit the reaction button at the bottom of your Zoom window and press raise hand, and then that'll also alert us to you wanting to ask a question or make a comment. So we'll probably, if we all need to discuss something, just do round robins, since that's kind of the easiest way, especially on Zoom, to get everyone heard. But yeah, kudos to those of you that aren't on Zoom every day. And welcome back. So we'll get into our introductions. And for introductions, we've got some new and newer members. So just a reminder for introductions, we always have a capacity check question. And when we go around and introduce ourselves, usually we'll say our name, what our position is on the committee, which Leslie sometimes has to help us remember. And then we'll answer the capacity check question. So for this meeting, our capacity question is aiming to help us get the work groups scheduled. So work group leads, make notes while people are answering. Leslie, do you have a way to share these options with people? I can read them, but if folks can't remember, so do you have more available time for work group meetings before November 1st or between November 11th and November 30th? Or you can also say that you don't have a preference. Are you unmuting, Leslie? Okay. So I can always help you remember. And then Leslie, if you can call out names for us to go through introductions, that would be great.
Perfect. And I was looking for a way to screen share, but it would be a little bit too much on the screen. So I'll just remind folks that they're looking, but again, we're looking before November 1st, between November 11th and November 30th. And I will mention that anyone who has Peggy in their work group should be scheduling their meeting before November 16th to accommodate her vacation. So that's the first note for work group leads. And then I'll just go down my list here. We had Wayne arrive first.
Great. Wayne Belmont, semi-retired, trying to learn how to retire. Not really. My preference and capacity is to actually do it before November 1st. I'm co-lead with Jane on one group for the health and whatever the title is for that exactly. And then on enhancing livability, I'm the lead, and I'd prefer to do both of those before November 1st. So.
Thank you, Wayne.
And I understand, that Leslie, you will help us a little bit with the scheduling. So I do have some commitments next week, but the following week, which gives us another week before November 1st, is when I'd really like to do it. So, Jane, I don't know if you're going to be available. The week is starting the 25th of October.
Yeah, I can make that work, Queen.
Okay.
All right, yeah. So that is great. I'll add that to my list. And then at the end of this meeting, if work group leads want help scheduling, if they just want to give me their barriers, then I can set out doodle polls.
Great.
Excellent. Or if you Perfect. Thank you. All right. Next on my list, we have Michael.
Hi, this is Michael Cito. I'm an at-large member, and I have no preference for meetings. So anytime.
Thank you, Michael. All right. Next, I have Bree.
Bree Goodwin. I am the current chair, and I'm an at-large member on the committee. And we've already scheduled our Preserving and Enjoying the Environment for October 25th, I believe. And then F work group met once, but I'm pretty flexible for when we meet again.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, next I have on my list, Judy.
I'm Judy Kuhl with the Newport Chamber of Commerce, and I believe I'm a stakeholder. Is that right? Yes.
Yep.
And yay, I finally got it memorized. No. And as far as meetings, so I already have the one meeting. Is that what you're talking about? One meeting scheduled, and the next meeting is going to need to be like after November 1st because my calendar is getting pretty full.
Good to know. Thank you so much, Judy. All right, we have Paula joining us. Hi, Paula.
Hi, I apologize, I'm so late. I've been busy in this project, and I got home and I forgot to bring my work laptop. So I had to do all this maneuver to get the information.
Well, welcome, we're glad you're here. We've just gone through a few introductions so far, the normal name and affiliation. And then I'm just working down the list, and I'll put you at the end so you have a little time to hear what everyone's sharing. Essentially, we're just asking for folks' availability for work group meetings if they prefer to meet before November 1st or between November 11th and 20-something, November 30th, or if there's no preference. So we just had Judy go, so I'm going to ask Jay next. Hi, Jay.
Hi, everyone.
I'm okay on a preference.
Jay.
Go ahead.
That's me. I misheard.
Oh, Jay.
Okay. I'm not sure what my status is, but I'm available. And since it's going to be first mostly virtual, if I'm in government camp because it snowed, I can participate anyway.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Jay. Good to see you. All right. And Rolla next.
Yes, I'm an at-large member and vice chairperson, and I believe Bree has already scheduled our environmental meeting, so we're all excited about that. And, I'm available most times as long as it's on Zoom. I'm going to be, on the road a fair amount over the next few weeks, but I'll always try to work it in.
Thank you, Rolla. All right, next I have Josh.
I'm Josh Conrad. I am the stakeholder, and I am already scheduled for the environmental, and then if business hasn't already set a date, anything after November 1st would be ideal because it is budget season.
All right. Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for persevering with the door there. Next, I have Jane.
You said Jane, right?
Correct, yeah.
Sorry, my headphones, no, I just want to make sure because I'm already hard of hearing. So hi everyone, Jane Russell. I represent the healthcare sector, and I believe that our committee consists of Michael and Wayne. So I think we have a commitment for before November 1st.
Great, thank you. All right, next, Paula, you are up.
Okay. First of all, I'm Paul Miranda. I believe I'm representing the port, right?
Correct.
So I'm with the Port of Newport. I'm representing the port. That makes sense. I apologize. I haven't reached out to schedule my group yet. It's been very busy, and it will continue being busy, so I don't know how I'm going to do this, quite frankly. I was called for jury duty for the month of November and December. I'm under grand jury. So, yeah, lucky me. And then on top of it, I am I'll be out for a conference between the 18th and the 20th, and then the 21st until the 5th of December, I'll be out of the country. So anything before that, and hopefully, I think I'm on the Tuesday Judy selection thing. So I can probably work around other days.
Okay. And Paula, I did mention I can help schedule by Doodle if that will help support your work group lead. So it sounds like we're aiming to try to fit before the start of November.
Yes.
Okay.
And I do want to probably chat with you a little bit about, you know, and trying to coordinate that a little bit as I'm still kind of, I feel like I'm still new to it, even though I shouldn't be, but anyway.
The feeling is mutual. And yeah, our 5B item will definitely be showing at least some of the technical support things that I've set up. And then I'll be happy to support you during the meetings as well.
Appreciate
it. But yeah, you're not alone, and you're not late on the scheduling. That was the assignment we're handing out today. Bree was just ahead of the game, so we're good.
She just wants to make us feel bad.
I was procrastinating something else.
All right. Next we have Spencer.
Yep, Spencer Nebel, city manager. I'm not a member of the Vision 2040, but I'm here to provide support in communication between city administration and the Vision 2040 committee, particularly since Peggy is not here today. So,
thank you so much for being there, Spencer. Appreciate it. And then I know Beatrice is on the road, so if she's if she can unmute, I'll give her a little time to try that. But if otherwise, I'll just connect with Beatrice afterwards and get her availability and send that to anyone who's her work group lead.
Hello, everyone.
Hola.
Hola. I'm Beatrice Botello, and I'm part of the Newport City Council, and I'm flexible with any time.
Great. Thank you, Beatrice. All right. Did I miss anyone besides myself? All right. So my name is Leslie Politosh. I am the Vision Program Coordinator. I will be the interim lead of the D group. And I am looking forward to just supporting all the groups whenever they are able to meet, helping the scheduling. So any of the work group leads that are feeling tentative about anything, hopefully the 5B item today will help share some of the resources I've put together, but I'm happy to be helping with the scheduling, ordering the meetings as well. So, yeah, I'm available.
Great, thank you. One more reminder or tip, if everyone can have some way of taking notes available, because sometimes we have a month or more delay on getting the minutes, it's nice to be able to jot down like when Leslie requests feedback from us or things that we need to follow up on or ideas that get generated in our minds from the discussion that we're having. So that way we don't lose those. And then we can send them to Leslie after, especially if it's making note of a future agenda item or something that the work groups should discuss. But I know that's something that Leslie is looking for, is just getting more feedback from all of us. So having the ability to take some notes will help us track all of that for her. So moving to agenda item 3, approval of the minutes. And so I would entertain a motion to approve both the minutes from the August 12, 2021 meeting and from the September 9th, 2021 meeting.
So moved.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, I'll second.
Okay, so Rala made the motion and Jay seconded. Any discussion? Okay. All right, hearing none, I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye, give a thumbs up.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. And now we've moved public comment up to agenda item number 4. Leslie or Spencer, did we have any emailed public comment?
There is no public comment that I am aware of, so.
Okay. And we don't have any members of the public in Zoom, so we'll move down to our discussion items. And so 5A is planning our Community of Vision Awards. And so Leslie will take it away.
All right. So as the trend has been, I have an introduction sheet for each of our items. We're looking at our overall goal of the Community Vision Awards for 2021. This meeting goals, I wanted just to present some of the baseline numbers we got from our last year's awards, also the community feedback we received, and my personal recommendations for how this year might look as a shift towards that community feedback. And again, there's never a way to make everyone happy, but I think it'll be interesting to try to show that giving constructive feedback can make a difference from year to year with these awards. One new component that I'm adding onto all of these sheets is the Ford Family Foundation influences. Our grant is unique because it is not often that Ford Family Foundation supports a volunteer, you know, city committee that is just running like a kind of a standard committee. But our efforts were enough to show that we are worth funding. So I have been using a lot of the Ford Family Foundation practices, and they also have multiple different resources that I intentionally build into our agenda topic. But since our agendas have been so packed with dial forwarding steps, I've often just fused those in without directly addressing the underlying drive behind that. So I did want to start increasing some transparency on why some of these items are being brought up in the way they are. And so on this sheet, there is a link to the community building practices of Ford Family Foundation. The awards are the celebrating and reflecting, and then listening to learning, because it is a great feedback opportunity. So I will be going to the presentation. Did that pop up on everyone's screen loading? Okay, perfect. So again, this is a presentation on the feedback and some baselines. This is part of a presentation I gave to our Ford Family Foundation cohort, and they were really appreciative of looking at how we can use celebrations and community celebrations, not only for celebrating successes and gathering community feedback on a regular basis, but also to get some baselines and start to see growth and participation and monitor progress in community building, which is kind of an interesting thing to try to measure. So I'm grateful to have the Ford cohorts helping in that. So some of the baselines we have, since our ceremony was virtual last year, we have the view count of our award video that is still up on YouTube. So as of September, we had 278 views of that award. In future years, depending on if we do a virtual celebration that's live or an in-person celebration, that'll be a different baseline number that we can gather. Oops, I didn't need to start that. Sorry. We will not watch that at the moment. Other baseline numbers, we had our nomination phase. We had 94 total nominations, and that turned into 80 nominees because some were double nominated. We got 55 new email addresses opted in during the nomination process. And something to think about the nomination phase is that it does require more active knowledge of the vision, and it does require more input from the person who is making the nomination. So those can kind of be seen as more active volunteers who are not yet on the committee, but are getting a little bit more relationship with the vision in the process. We did use the Google Forms or a text or call-in option for nomination. We had 91 nominations in the English Google form and then 3 on the Spanish Google form. So hopefully we'll be looking forward to different nomination methods, working in culturally competent methods that might increase that Spanish nomination number. And then the voting phase. This one is interesting with numbers because there were 941 surveys submitted. 704 of those were complete responses and 237 were partial responses. We did only receive 15 new email opt-ins in that process. And things to think about with those numbers is that SurveyMonkey and the platform and the ranked voting system with so many nominees in some categories did get some constructive feedback from those who were participating. So some were saying that the thing was voting for them, or some might have skipped through and not known how to go back and do complete voting. So these numbers could be inconsistent. But that is what the SurveyMonkey gave us as far as numbers. So we did get quite a few suggestions from the community for these awards. And on the bottom of these PDF pages, there are ways that you can see the entire feedback that we got, as well as the full presentation that I've already shared in a meeting a few months back on the awards. But one of the ideas is separating volunteer and employee individual categories, just because an outstanding employee is one thing, and then an astounding person who's doing something for free is quite another. So that was something that was repeated in our feedback. Another suggestion that we heard from a few different sources was the idea to remove government organization categories. For better or worse, I also will admit that giving cash awards to government entities did become interesting. Some were, you know, had to donate it to a foundation or chose to donate to a foundation. Others, if they were working for the city, there was a tax deduction from that. So that was one of the suggestions that came across a few times. So taking the feedback from those recommendations, this is what our categories could look like next year. So having an organization of a business, a 501c3 nonprofit, and an individual employee or an individual volunteer. So what I've constructed for an opportunity to give feedback for those of you committee members who would like to share feedback on these is I've created a Google form. So anytime the slide comes up here, it says feedback opportunity. There's a corresponding question on that survey, and you can see the link on the bottom of the screen here, and I'll be sharing that at the end as well. But essentially in that feedback, if it's a thumbs up, there's an agree box, but then there's an other box. So if you have other recommendations, more so than what we might be able to discuss here, I welcome your feedback. And then if I don't get a lot of feedback, I'm just going to kind of go with the dominant recommendations that came via the community. So that was the first opportunity for feedback question on that form. Another suggestion is having a non-city staff team determine the nominee eligibility. Last year, there was really only one that was somewhat questionable if their work was forwarding the vision. And we do hope keeping the categories under the wide umbrellas of the focus area, it really allows the community to interpret what they see forwarding those vision focus areas. But there also, I think it would be a benefit to have some process to make sure that we're being fair, transparent, legal, and putting some qualification criteria and ways to verify that. And that'll be coming up in the following slides. So the idea here is to have a team of members and that once the nomination period is done, those on that team would be able to just look at the different nominees and click either yes, they are eligible under these qualifications, or if there's any no's that show up on any of the team members' individual reports, then those nominees would be put into a separate category that would be able to be discussed as the whole team, so that their people that might have a little bit more knowledge of the vision can communicate with those that might not have as much knowledge of the vision so that there can be somewhat of a consensus on if they're eligible or not. And then anyone declared ineligible would be notified why they weren't eligible, and ideally, hopefully, given a little bit of feedback as far as how they could become eligible in a future year. So on that idea, these are the recommended qualifying criteria that Peggy and Spencer and I were able to talk about. So for organizations and businesses, they would be having a valid business license or 501c3 nonprofit on all the legally required ones. So that can be federal and state or federal, state, and Newport, depending on the category. And Peggy did recommend the 501c3 nonprofits because that they are required to be on a national database there. And then for individuals, ideally, there'd be some sort of verification from an employer, a coworker, volunteer coordinator, or anyone else who can vouch for their contributions. And this is most likely going to be happening in the nomination process anyway. But if it doesn't, then someone, most likely me, will follow up and try to just make sure that they've done the work that someone said they were doing. And then the other two criteria would be their efforts must serve the greater Newport area. And it wouldn't have to be just the greater Newport area. It could be a wider range as well. But essentially just asking information if it's not shared in the nomination process of how their work helps our area would be the way to define that. And then also their efforts must forward the selected focus area. And so that could be verified in written or recorded spoken words from the nominator or nominee describing on how their work is forwarding that focus area. And again, if any of these qualifications were questionable by anyone on our selection or verification team, then it would be a group discussion after that. So just not one vote would make someone eligible or not eligible. It would require discussion. So, idea for a potential team, and this one is also open for feedback, as you'll see in the next slide. It would be great to have, of course, one voting vision committee member because we should all be at least fairly familiar with the vision at this point. The next idea was either the county's public information officer or Christy, the administrative assistant. Both of these roles require a finger on the pulse of the work being done in the community. I've worked with both Casey and Christy on other projects, and I believe that one of them, if they are interested, would be a great member on this. And I'm sharing these ideas now. I haven't contacted these individuals, but I just wanted to kind of get a temperature check to see the support on these ideas. So also thinking since all the support that they shared with the awards last year and they're interested in sharing press again this year, a representative from the News Times, also a representative from the Economic Development Alliance of Lincoln County, most likely Paul, if he's interested, but it could be another person connected there, perhaps a board member. Again, because of their contributions with the future website interest. And then I was able to present the vision to the Coastal Equity and Inclusion Committee. And I thought that a member, either a chair or a co-chair of that committee to think about our DEI and justice lens would be a great person to add on this team. So another question on that feedback opportunity form is going to be asking for your thoughts on the various eligibility criteria and verification. Again, you'll either say, yes, you agree, or an other box where you can give suggestions. And then there's also a question that will ask about alternate seat recommendations. So ideally, after I get feedback from the committee or the members that are interested in sharing feedback, I will start with the folks that got the most support in from our committee and then just work down the list. If they're not able to, I'll go to other recommendations. So I would both appreciate your support for any of the five that I've suggested, or if you have other individuals or people that work for organizations to recommend, there's locations for that on the form as well. All right, and then the fun part is thinking about perhaps a different way to award folks. One of the biggest underlying feedbacks was frustration with voting and kind of a popularity contest. And as I mentioned before, the nomination phase actually required more of a working knowledge and received more opt-ins for email lists, and then also a positive feedback thread that was recurring was that learning about the entire scope of work that all the nominations shared, even those who were really in touch with the community learned about new options and stuff. So in my personal opinion, I think increasing the list of folks in nominees is somewhat, it could be more beneficial for active participation in the vision in the future, as opposed to just picking a few on the contest aspect of that. Also, something to think about is if we had 80 nominees last year, if we get 120 eligible nominees this year, about a $50 gift card would be equal to the amount of the cash awards that we gave for the total 24 winners last year. So it'd be somewhat comparable. And so the last option, I believe, on the feedback questionnaire is picking which one of these that you'd like to support more. So option A would just be recognizing and awarding all eligible nominees. And again, we'd have that team deciding if who was eligible or if anyone was not eligible. Option B would be if you really want a winner of categories, there's two ways we could go about that. One is having work groups meet after the end of the nomination period and picking a best and focus area winner. So that would be putting more work on the work group teams sometime between January and February. Or we could also try another public voter's choice process. And this format would be a little bit decided once I return to the News Times, because we had been offered to use their voting platform. And then option C could work in tandem with option A, but once we have our categories of eligible nominees, we could always do a random chance raffle. So maybe one for each or a few for each focus area, but that could allow higher quality prizes. And then also incentive to participate in either a virtual live or an in-person celebration together, if, you know, depending on what COVID brings us next spring. And if it hasn't been obvious yet, I lean towards either A or A and C, again, to shape the experience to community feedback, to see if the nomination and other participation baselines increase without a public voting process, because a lot of our nominees last year weren't necessarily interested in the recognition. But of course, we want to recognize vision forwarding work. And then also, as recommended in some community feedback emails from last year's awards, keeping the logistics simple for this volunteer committee driven effort. So I am open to answering questions here if folks have it, but I just did want to bring your attention to the last slide of this to show that there's a link here to that form. Ideally, you can get feedback from those who are interested on Monday, October 18th. And if anyone's having a hard time accessing that form through any of these links, please do get back in touch with me. Bree, I see your hand up.
I really loved the physical prizes that were in that the first slide photo and how many people in the community came together to build them. And I would love to continue doing that. I know that we were able to do that because of grant funding. And I don't know if we would get funding through the city process for that after grant funding is out. But have you thought about the prizes? You mentioned gift certificates, but a sort of a physical award?
Yeah, it is my hope to have some other type of physical award, whether it is for all eligible nominees or the selected winners of certain things. I kind of wanted to wait to go on that avenue to see what the collective, support of this committee was. And then I could, budget a little bit better as far as what would be optional. Since we do have the grant funding this year, it is my could be idealistic hope that after two or three renditions of these community awards that are funded by the Ford Family Foundation grant, that the community will see the benefit in recognizing the helpers of the community, and that hopefully those artists who are interested in helping with awards in future years might be able to donate to the effort, especially if we're partnering with nonprofits in the future that could make those donations tax deductible.
Thank you. And I saw Josh and then Paula.
So of the, was it 900 nominations last year?
It was 900 something votes. Completed SurveyMonkey vote forms.
Okay.
Yeah.
And of those, were a lot of them individuals, or like how many were organizations?
So the votes were all hopefully individuals voting on the 80 nominees. Those who know computers well could technically get around being able to vote only once, which was the default format. So again, that's another reason that those 900 votes might have been a little bit skewed in some ways.
I'm sorry, basically, I asked the wrong question.
Oh, no, sorry. Go for it.
I'm sorry, I asked the wrong question then. Of the 80 nominees, how many were individuals and how many were organizations?
Yeah, actually, I can work on pulling that up really quick to share. So let me find that. And Bree, if you want to go to the next question, I'll come back to that one after I find it.
So Paula, go ahead while she's pulling that up, and then Wayne is next.
It's just a comment about how we reward the winners. I think it's great to be recognized and be able to share the wealth, but quite frankly, the fun part about doing something like this is being the winner, you know, and really getting recognized. And I think the reward is a little bit larger, therefore more people get excited about nominating somebody that they know. So I'm for literally, it's kind of like nowadays, you know, all the kids get medals for just participating. It takes it away from the real winners. It's great, the recognition, but your name is already recognized by being nominated. So let's really select the winner and reward that winner. That's my take.
Thank you, Paula. And Leslie, are you ready to pull that up? Okay. And then we'll go to Wayne.
And I did just want to mention, so anyone has information, Paula, that would be great if you'd be able to just enter that on the form so it's all in one place after the meeting. But I will keep that in notes that you support winners. And if you can give any feedback on that form about the way that would look, whether it's a work group deciding or a public vote. And then I will share the screen for Josh's question. And this is the slide. Let me see. Sorry, got me some screens here. So this is a slide that showed how our nominations were broken down last year. And there is a link to this in the full in the last slideshow I shared, as far as the presentation on the Vision Awards I'd already shared. So we had 16 total nominations in businesses, 11 for government organizations. The outstanding individual category was the heaviest nominated, and then the nonprofit was close behind that one. So nonprofits and outstanding individuals were the highest there.
So was the popularity contest concern because you had a bunch of people voting for it, or like where do we know where that came from, or do we just have that comment?
The underlying theme I got on the popularity contest was something similar. It's like the same winners of different awards always seem to win. We did ask folks who were nominated and who made nominations to share things on their social media accounts. So I definitely do know that affected voting as far as how affected folks were on that aspect. So I think those were some of the underlying themes I heard, but I'm open to others' feedback if they heard similar things.
Okay, so a committee might help remove that part of the factor.
Yeah, and then the other idea I heard with the committee when we were forming this the first year was the work involved in organizing that committee and getting it to meet, and then also just something as far as like if we do want to get genuine feedback from the community and the widest swath of community, allowing voters choice type awards, you know, it's that double-edged sword, whether we're going to the popularity contest or, you know, a similar committee of folks who are a lot probably similar on other committees making decisions. So I can see the benefit in both sides.
Yeah, please, everyone. Wayne, you are next.
Thanks. Leslie, I noticed that you didn't really discuss, but I think you have one of the recommendations is to remove government organizations from the category. And I had mixed feelings initially when I saw that, as someone who's actually served in, you know, public service for a number of years and seen some of the people, I know some of the people that I personally nominated are in public service, but I actually like that in the end. I think the purpose of the vision committee is to recognize really other people in the community. I think that the government sector really can be part of the overall implementation of the vision, but I really like the idea of doing that focus on others than the government. That being said, I like the idea of pulling the government organizations out of there, but I'm wondering about individuals. And I think the way the categories are set up now, is there still going to be folks that make nominations of individuals that may be employed in government service, you know, doing some extraordinary work out there? Or do you want to actually say that they're not included either? So it's not only the organizations that wouldn't be a category, but also people who work for those organizations? I guess that's my question.
And I'll admit, I didn't have a hard decision either way on that idea. The big thing is we're just going with like logistics, simplicity, and community feedback. I could be open for either idea. Spencer, I don't know if you have, with your knowledge of government and giving awards, what barriers or what might be beneficial either way there?
Yeah, I think one of the concerns we had was with the cash awards that were done last year coming to a public employee is a little bit of a problem. I think Wayne's right though. Even if it's not in their governmental function, but it's in a function other than governmental function, there are a lot of folks that are publicly employed that probably should be allowed to be nominated outside of the scope of their paid job. Because again, there's some very generous folks that work for various governmental organizations, and excluding them seems a little, you know, now that Wayne brought that up, seems a little problematic. So, but I think there has to be a clear separation from the work they're paid to do and what they're doing in the community.
So that would fit into the volunteer versus paid employee separation of categories. And then if we weren't awarding over $50, at least cash reward, that could still allow.
That mitigates a lot of the ethics issues that and other policy issues that I think some governmental organizations may have.
Well, you might be able to also get around that issue by saying if you are, if you're subject to those particular restrictions, that you get a choice of here's three nonprofits, so we give you a choice. You choose one of them to make the award to.
Yeah, that would be a good way to do it.
You're not getting it personally, but you're getting to choose at least from deserving organizations. So there's other ways you could actually do that too.
That's a great idea, Wade. And I'll admit a large majority of those who were government employees that won last year donated that, or even business donated to their chosen nonprofit. So that would definitely be a good precedent.
So this is weird facilitating myself. I had my hand up and then Josh. I was like a little heartbroken to see the recommendation to not include government, and I don't know that I saw all of the feedback, but the feedback on this that I did see was from people who are always very negative about government because it's government, and it was perceptions and this negativity, and I don't think it was a lot of people unless I didn't see all of it. And people who work for the government do so much work and should be eligible for awards. And so should, you know, certain departments. And so I'm going to kind of defer to government, I think, to make the decision, because I know that perception does matter. But I also recognize that people are just so negative about government. And I think that was really where this was coming from, which I don't think is fair because people are negative about business and nonprofits too. So my personal choice would be to keep the government category and allow government employees, make it work so that government employees can be eligible for their paid work for this award if other employees are going to be eligible for their paid work. I mean, if I am, then so should Spencer and Peggy. That's my thoughts. And then Josh had his hand up.
I was actually on the same page as Spencer. I think that sending the awards towards a nonprofit helps move the whole vision forward in the first place.
And Josh, is that for those ineligible to receive the awards themselves that was a government employee or anyone that chooses to, which some folks chose to?
I was actually going to suggest that for all the awards that goes towards organizations in our town that are moving things forward. And then it all becomes a good circle, but either way would be fine. Now, I'm sure some of the individuals that were nominated would probably end up using it towards their chosen goal anyway, and so it is what it is.
Well, and one option I considered and when we're rolling out the announcements on this is showing how many of the cash awards last year were actually donated forward to nonprofits as far as setting a precedent and an inspiration. Any other thoughts beyond what folks might be interested in sharing in that survey form before Monday? Spencer?
Yeah, just I tend to agree with what Paula had indicated on the, and we talked about this earlier as well. I kind of like to designate winners, but I think that that just makes it more of a contest. But the difference I think would be having the focus group select the winners versus the vote, because the focus groups understand who's doing, should have a better understanding of the connection between that area and the and who is really performing well in that area and evaluating that. But that's my personal preference. But I think, however we do it, it's a great thing to do. And I think it was it was a great experiment last year, and this will be a new adventure this year. However the committee wants to go forward with it.
Judy.
Well, working for, the chamber, and the chamber has always done awards every year. And I can tell you that doing them year over year has been a challenge because the same people always get nominated. And then we started using the SurveyMonkey or a different, voting way, and you could tell who was voting for who, and you could see that it was either like if that person was on a committee with somebody, or if that person worked at that same agency or company, all those people voted for that person. And so it does become a popularity contest. So, having other people vote in a different way might be a better option.
Thank you for that feedback, Judy. Depending on the feedback I get from you all on the form, it'll be great to help me see where people's heart lie and which ones we should move forward on. And in my dream world, we can kind of make a fusion of it where we are better at making sure that those who are being eligible are indeed eligible and forwarding the vision and focusing on giving them recognition and an award of sorts too, even if it's not, the ultimate winning a vote. There might be mixing those worlds. And did I see a hand up?
Sorry. Josh, you had your hand up and then put it down.
I did. I think that the concept of having the committees do it and then having a voter's choice, we still get that outside input from the community, might be the best way to avoid a complete popularity contest, but still be able to kind of continue pulling in more people.
Is that the Dancing with the Stars model?
Yeah,
the judges
exactly.
And the public vote?
Exactly, yeah. The AT&T texted in. Exactly.
So, Leslie, I'm just putting out a time check. We're at 6:24, and we still have some agenda items to get through. So if I can plug the questionnaire that Leslie put together, the due date is Monday. Did you have a time on that, or is it just?
Let's go end of day on Monday.
End of the day on Monday. And can we get an email reminder tomorrow for that?
Definitely. Action item. Will do.
Thank you. And the link is already in the agenda. So if you're feeling really ambitious tonight when we get done, you can get a jump start. But are we ready, Leslie, to move forward? Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to move forward to agenda item 5B, which is the work group meeting assignments for October and November. Leslie is going to make sure we all know what we're supposed to be doing and accomplishing at these meetings.
Excellent. So again, just looking here, our goal is to have all six work groups meet to complete their minimum annual year-end duties. And the Ford family components with this is listen to learn, plan together, create change, and celebrate and reflect. I do want to bring your attention to all the resources that are shared both on this form and as attachments in the agenda. So we have the action item outline for workgroup leads, which I'll be sharing here in just a minute. And then we have the entire workgroup list, including everyone's email addresses on that. We have last year's vision progress report, so you can see the form, last year's needs and gaps and highlights. And then I have created some decision trees. So hopefully if I'm not at any of the meetings, if anyone gets stuck on what we do with our decisions, those will help show where they could go in the two formats. And then the other assignments involved coming up with some new vision committee goals and objectives. And so when we have new ideas of what the committee can do or what stakeholders can do or other city departments do, I made another decision tree to show folks where those ideas can get funneled. So I'm going to share this one here. All right, let me just get it in a better viewing form real quick. And so you can see here, let me do a bigger view. Sorry, zoom in. All right. So up in the top, we again have that annual work group list. So you can find your members and their email addresses. There's also the PlanDisc annual calendar link. So you can see some of the deadlines. So now the homework is coming up for the work group leads to schedule a meeting with your work group. And please include me in the schedule polling if you'd like me to support at those meetings. I'm happy to. And when you do have your finalized date and time and meeting method, please let me know as soon as that is confirmed. Ideally, at least three groups should meet in October. We already have the B group meeting, and it does sound like Wayne would like to make sure his two groups meet in October. And if we have more than three meeting in October, that's great as well. And the reason that we want at least three done is October is because November, we're actually going to be trying to having discussion on the suggested committee goals and objectives for the next fiscal year, because those are going to be due at the beginning of December. So groups that aren't as interested in talking about goals and objectives can move towards meeting in November, but those that are really passionate about wanting those goals and objectives on their plate, meeting in October will be great with that as well. So I'm just going to stop sharing real quick. I've already gotten somewhat of an informal inquiry on who's interested in meeting in October. Are there any other present, and you can raise your hand, that would be interested in meeting in October? Michael? Okay, so the F group. All right, excellent. And then J. Okay, great. Great. All right. Then I'm just going to go back to the sharing screen real quick here. And so again, we've been talking about this for, I think, at least a year or a little bit longer as far as what we're looking at. I try to put this in an order that would be progressing well. First, you'd want to draft your annual vision progress report sections, and that would include follow-up on the previous year's needs and gaps. And I'll click the decision tree real quick in a second. Then also looking at 1 to 3 focus area highlights of the year, and then 1 to 3 focus area needs and gaps for the next year and beyond. And this could be including needs and gaps from last year that weren't addressed. And then if you have any wide scoping projects that are forwarding a lot of the vision beyond your focus area, please recommend those for the overarching highlights for or needs and gaps for the executive summary. I'm going to show real quick this decision tree. And again, these are just resources. You don't have to use them as your work group if you're not interested. But essentially, it's going to be easy to start with the needs and gaps from your section, your work group section from last year. Was the item accomplished? Yes. Consider making it one of your highlights. Was it not accomplished? No. Is it still relevant? Yes. You know, anyway, so just following down this path to see where last year's needs and gaps can be fit into either highlights for this year or forwarding to needs and gaps this year, or if they're no longer relevant, where you'd be addressing that that aspect of that. And then the next idea with this is when you're meeting with your work group and you are learning about projects and individuals who are doing amazing stuff, please assign your work group members to make those nominations when we've finalized the format. So I know I won't have that format out for these next meetings, but if you can just assign who would be making the nominations of which individuals, which businesses, which or nonprofits, that will make sure that we're not missing any of those important people in the vision awards process. And then again, for those meeting in October, assessing the current committee goals and objectives and adding some brainstorming into next year's possible goals and objectives would be really helpful. I've included links here, again, last year's or this fiscal year's vision committee's goals and objectives. There's also a link to the city goals database that Richard shared last meeting. And I've also made a YouTube recording of Richard's presentation. So if you wanted any recaps of how to navigate that, that will be there as well. And then assess the progress or lack thereof, recommend moving goals that are unmet forward or saying why they might not be worth moving forward. And then if you have new ones, there's going to be this decision tree that will help. So the big underlying question is who will be ultimately responsible for accomplishing the work? So if it's the Vision Advisory Committee or one of its work groups, it will be most likely turning into a Vision Advisory Committee goal or objective for the upcoming fiscal year. If it takes a lot of steps to accomplish, it's most likely an overarching goal that will need to be broken down into a few easier to obtain objectives to meet that goal. Or if it might just be a one-step process, it can be an objective, and then you'd want to figure out an overarching goal if there wasn't already one. If it's a task that would be accomplished by a non-city stakeholder that doesn't require any action from the committee, then it's just going to be following that stakeholder's progress. And if they do complete their progress for their project, that's a good option for a future year's highlight. And if it does require some catalyzing from a vision committee member or a work group, then that kind of goes back into the committee goal or objective because it will take action by a committee member to catalyze that. If it's something that is ultimately going to be accomplished by another city department, committee, or council, that's what we're going to be fitting into our needs and gaps in the annual progress report because we are not ultimately responsible for giving them the their goals and objectives. But if we can give feedback on what the Vision Advisory Committee sees as a needs and gap and present them in a way, then that's what we can do there with that. I did include a second slide on this because there was some discussion in our F group as far as what tasks we could take right on without checking in with the committee first. And so there's the second page that asks if our vision or if the action actually forwards a goal that is in our current fiscal year and our work group is already designated to be the one accomplishing that item, that work group is welcome to move forward. So the questions are, does the work group have the capacity to complete it in the fiscal year? And if they do, great. If they don't, then that can be moved forward to the next year. If they are going to need additional funding to accomplish that item or that task, then it's going to be needing to check in with the city staff person so that, and ideally you're coming with a rough idea of how much money it would be, because depending on how much money something costs, there's different avenues that the city has to go about funding that, both while we have our grant money and then in the future. So again, these are just flow charts that I'm hoping will be helpful, but aren't necessarily, you don't have to use them by any means. So any questions, concerns, or things that I can clarify at this point with the expectations of the work group for the next 2 months?
I'll just suggest, probably for all of us, perusing the report we pulled together for, we pulled it together last year, I think. Everything is hazy. But looking at the last report that we have to just kind of see the format that we've been using, it doesn't have to stay like that, but the counselors have said they like that report. But that's a good refresher on how we've been doing this. And we already have to look at the needs and gaps, but it's nice to kind of browse through there, especially because the year has been a blur.
am I still muted? Sorry.
Nope, you're, no.
Okay,
you're not.
Great. And I did want to bring attention. I'm having a hard time finding it on 5B right now, but the intro sheet there does have a example on the bottom. We've got some great feedback from the Vision Program Coordinator and Sisters, who does annual vision reports. So she's shared her slides of do's and don'ts for vision progress reports that I'll be working on integrating into this year's report. And there is also an example of a beautified vision report that I wish Jeff was here, because I know he loves the visuals and improving things. So I do have a template started to still use the exact same things we're asking for from each of the work groups, but putting it into a more viewer-friendly format that ideally would be more appreciated by the general community as well, and not just the council.
Sorry, where were those on the materials? I was looking for those and I didn't find those, the examples.
Yeah, let me pull, here, I'll pull it up real quick. I just got lost in my windows. Here we go. So if you look under the 5B item, and I will do my screen share here, it is the bottom of that page. So I'm going to go here and show you real quick down here, the Sisters Country Vision Progress Report do's and don'ts. And some of those might come into play next year when we change if we want to change the format of how we're reporting in our work group. This year, we're going to stick with the wheel we invented over the last 2 years, but I'm not attached to that for future years. And then I will show this template preview that does get a little bit more beautification into it, using some of the feedback that we got from Janelle and Sisters. So one of the things is not assuming that the person reading the vision report knows what the vision was in the first place. So including enough information there, but still being able to get those sections in and have links as we did, and then have the different sections so that it's, again, a little bit easier to read.
Any other questions? I'm sure Leslie will be available as we're getting our work group scheduled, and probably be at most of them to help guide us.
Happy to be there.
Right. So I believe we're ready to move forward to 5C, which is ordinance change recommendations. And I'm going to talk also about 5D, just so everyone understands, because we hadn't discussed rules or using that term before. But the subcommittee that met to talk about ordinance changes, I think it was Spencer that, or maybe Peggy, that suggested we could have some committee rules, which are more under our control and don't take sort of the approval of city council like an ordinance change does. So first on the agenda, we're going to look at the ordinance, but some of the discussion topics we talked about changing in the ordinance have been moved to a rules section. So just wanted to kind of give that context before we move into this discussion. And I am going to share Leslie's introduction to this agenda item. So can I get a thumbs up if you see my screen? Okay, perfect. So our objective, or the overall goal and objective here, is to assess the ordinance that was written before we actually existed as a committee and recommend changes to city council. And keeping in mind supporting long-term committee success and sustainability. And so today what we want to do is gather feedback on the recommended changes. And so Leslie put, if you click from the agenda, if you click this ordinance change recommendation PDF, that's the document I'm looking at right now, there are links to the straw poll results from our last meeting, and then the recommended draft ordinance. So some of those items got moved to rules, and the resulting draft ordinance is actually pretty straightforward. And looking at the Ford Family Foundation components, feel free to jump in, Leslie, but listen to learn. So we obviously had a lot of discussion around all of this. Planning together, hopefully making a decision that we're all okay with, and creating change, which is super good in this case because it's making our committee more sustainable for ourselves. Then, am I clicking on the right link, Leslie? Yeah. Okay. Does this one have track changes in it, or is it just?
I don't think this one has the highlights, but we can.
Do we have one that has the highlights?
Sorry, I don't think that one.
No. Okay. I am going to go off of my memory, and I invite Leslie, Michael, and Spencer to jump in. But I believe all of the ordinance changes were things that we had agreement on, at least for those of us who attended the meeting last month. And so there were some just kind of language changes to make things more clear, which are not substantive changes. And then where are we? The membership did not change. And then we have, where's the quorum?
That's in number C.
Okay, there we go.
Yep, so yeah, it's section C of the on top of the second page, the ordinance there.
Perfect, thank you. So this will change our quorum to 6 committee members without changing our membership number. And the ordinance further clarifies that the committee can make decisions using a majority vote of the voting members while a quorum is present. So if we have 7 of us at the meeting, that means we met our quorum. And if we're making a decision, you need 4 votes for it to pass. And so this should hopefully help us. In the past, we've had some issues of not meeting our quorum and then therefore not being able to meet. So dropping the quorum number will allow us to meet with less people at the meeting. And something that I didn't understand before the ordinance discussion is that quorum number that we previously had, it didn't matter how many vacancies we had, those seats still counted to make our quorum number. Were there any other big changes in the ordinance that I'm missing?
Yeah, I think that was the most substantive change of the ordinance going forward.
All right.
Were there attendance pieces as had been discussed?
That's going to be in the rules discussion, which will follow. So,
thank you.
Yes. So, Spencer, is it okay if I jump ahead to show people the rules
sure.
and then jump back for the decision? Okay. So that way everyone has full understanding. I'm going to jump forward and just give you a preview of the proposed rules text. So that way you have that context before making a decision on the ordinance. And one note that I'll make is that these rules can be a little more of a living document since it's a vote of the committee to change the rules and it doesn't have to go to the city council. There were some other topics that were brought up that could go into the rules, but we felt that the absence or the attendance policy was the priority. And so we wanted to make sure we created the rules and had the attendance policy. And then for, I believe, our meeting next month, folks can send other suggested rules to Leslie and we can consider adding those in the future. So the attendance policy looks very similar to what you saw last month. And if we adopt them today, then they would be adopted today and become effective December 1st. That would give staff time to notify all of the committee members and make sure they know about the rule. And so this accounts for excused planned absences and then also emergency absences. And the way this would work is that at the start of every meeting, just like we approve minutes, we would approve absences. So it might be that person A is on vacation and so they notified Leslie. And so those are the excused absences. And then last month, person B had an emergency absence. They had something come up with work and at the last minute couldn't attend. And then we would approve that at that next meeting. And it can be kind of like a consent calendar where we don't have to discuss each one. I could just entertain a motion to approve all of the absences, whether they're excused or emergency absences. And then it's committee members with two or more unexcused absences would be recommended to the mayor for removal. So I'm going to ask folks just kind of jot down if you have thoughts on that, because we're not making that decision right now, but I wanted you to have that context before we make the decision on the ordinance.
And just a clarification too, the ordinance will be a recommendation to the city council from the committee. So someone wants to make a motion to that effect, that would be the appropriate motion to recommend the changes as outlined in the proposed ordinance.
Thank you. And I saw Michael had his hand up.
Bri, I just wanted to say that on the rules topic, I do have some discussion I would like to add after we get past this section.
Perfect. Are there any questions about the ordinance language? Would anyone like to make a motion to approve this or to make a recommendation?
I recommend the ordinance changes to the city council. How's that?
I second.
Oh, I heard Judy and Michael second.
Give it to Judy.
I did it too.
Okay, so Wade made the motion and Judy seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye, give a thumbs up.
Aye.
And are there any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
We'll have that on the November 1st City Council meeting. So,
Great.
And Leslie, if you can put together a staff report to accompany the ordinance change to briefly describe the process that the committee came up with that final recommendation.
Will do. Thank you, Spencer.
And then I'm going to go through Leslie's introduction document, and then we'll get to Michael and anyone else who has feedback or questions. So when we're thinking about the rules, we're thinking about increasing inclusive opportunities for feedback and participation, and making sure that our committee tasks are sustainable. And that's for individuals and then also the committee as a whole. So making sure that we don't have a bunch of vacant seats and that we're building the capacity of our committee. And so the goals really for this agenda item are to forward the understanding of and plan next steps for Vision Advisory Committee rules. So that way we can streamline meeting procedures, expectations, and inclusiveness in a format that we can change ourselves as a committee without having to go to the city council for approval. So the first rule that we have in our rules is that attendance policy that I already gave you a preview of. And much like the ordinance, this is listen to learn and planning together and creating change. So I'm just going to go pull the attendance policy back up. And then, oh, now it looks different.
Is the attendance policy currently the only rule that we're proposing?
It'll be a rule of one rule to start with.
Okay.
One rule to rule them all.
There we go.
yes, this is just our first rule. There can be more. But again, the subcommittee felt like this was the most important one because it's having the biggest impact on our capacity. And we wanted to give folks time to kind of mull over this concept of rules and think about suggestions. So Michael had already had his hand up. So I'm going to go to Michael first for feedback and discussion. And then if anyone else wants to chat, raise your hand and mark you down. Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you, Bree. This comment is sort of for Leslie, Spencer, Peggy, who's not here, and Bree, and maybe Rolla's vice chair, if he wants to be involved. In continuing to learn more about the background of the Vision 2040 Committee, I've been going back and reading the minutes from every meeting. And I got into the neighborhood of the November 2018 meeting, and discovered that the committee has passed something that is called the Committee Operating Procedures. And within that document, it defined work groups and items around work groups, and also defined a term which Bree just used called subcommittee. And while that document definitely passed per the minutes, a vote in the committee meeting, I haven't got beyond that yet, so I don't know if anything happened post that meeting to where, say, the city rejected the legality of that document, because the next step would have been to have it be signed off by the city's legal counsel. So my proposal is that we don't necessarily need a whole lot of different documents, and what may be the best path forward is to add this attendance policy into the committee operating procedures as an addition to a pre-existing document that is around the organizing procedures of the meetings, et cetera. So that's my thinking. Less documents to me is better than more documents. Brian, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at that document at all, but per that document, we probably shouldn't use the term subcommittee, because subcommittee is still a public meeting and requires public notification.
Yeah, we did have a lengthy discussion about that in 2018, but I think the concept of folding that together into a rule for the committee is a good idea, and it probably be good as a refresher to take a peek at that at a future Vision 2040 committee when we're ready to do it, because that is in place, and I think we've been generally operating under those guidelines. But it would be good to review and add this to that, so that we have rules that consist of more than one rule that we already are living by. So,
yeah. And my question in that, I do recall that meeting, and I found it when I was going through attendance records. My question, I guess, for you, Spencer, Peggy, when she gets back, is an operating procedure, does that work as independently as rules would for our committee to be able to alter that?
I would call it all committee rules, and then I think it's kind of self-determined by the committee itself, and because that's basically what that did. Of course, that was in the earlier days of establishing the Vision 2040 committee to give it some sort of structure. And so I think we can call that all committee rules and just fold it into a new document.
Spencer, I'm happy with any name changes, but I see it the other way. That document explicitly says within it that it is under the purview of a vote by the advisory committee to make any changes, and the only required after that is legal review and approval. So I don't know that we need to change the name of that document since it's already been accepted by the city and been in place for 3 years.
Yeah, and we can certainly take a look at that at the prior to the next meeting to figure out the best way to marry those together, because I think that makes a lot of sense.
Would our rules document have to be approved by legal as well?
Yeah, legal will review it just to make sure, and we'll have that done before the next meeting.
Yes, thank you, Michael. I was trying to find that document.
I know you had mentioned in some meetings ago that you wanted to find the document that said what we decided on work groups. And when I found it, I said, oh, I'll just send this off to Bree.
Yes. Thank you. So I think it is a great idea to have less documents, especially when we can't find them sometimes. Less to lose. Less to keep track of. In terms of getting our attendance policy in place, I guess my question is for Spencer, would it make sense for us, if the committee so chooses, to approve this rule, and then at the next meeting, if we want to combine documents or anything, deal with it then? Or what would you suggest?
Yeah, no, I think that would be appropriate, and then we'll approve it and request legal review, and then by the next meeting we can have that other discussion of how we marry these documents together.
Okay. So, Leslie,
I just wanted to give one thing, just for the future discussion, whether we are going with rules or the procedures. We did include on the bottom of the 5D title page examples of committee rules that were actually created in the ad hoc vision committee that I believe Wayne and maybe a few others present were a part of. But these were created when Rachel Cotton was kind of leading the charge, as well with the professional consultants. And I just thought it was a great example of where our committee could go with rules and also expectations for members and staff. So I just wanted to mention that document is there for folks to check out that could lead into a conversation on perhaps adopting some more rules or procedures, depending on what word document we want to put that under.
Thank you, Leslie. Mm-hmm. Oops. Wanted to bring up the actual language that we were talking about. There we go. So if there aren't any further questions, we will still have another chance for discussion, but I would entertain a motion to the Spencer, sorry. would it be to establish committee rules and adopt the attendance policy?
Yeah, I think if the motion is to, if the committee is comfortable with this as a rule, I think it would be to adopt the attendance policy. I think at the next meeting we can figure out how to tie these things together. So at least between now and then, the city attorney will take a look at it, and if there's any comments, that'll come back to the committee. You know, we'll share those at the next meeting. But I think once it's approved, the committee can start, you know, living by, you know, these this particular rule anyway. So.
Okay, thank you. So I would entertain a motion to adopt this attendance policy.
I move to adopt this attendance policy as written.
I second that.
Second.
Okay, so I believe we had Michael made the motion, and was that Josh who made the second? Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye, give a thumbs up.
Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. And so just to reiterate a little bit of homework, or maybe you're already jotting down some ideas, if there are any other rules that you would like to propose for discussion, and we can cover those at our next meeting, but really think about what builds our capacity as a committee so we can do more or work better together. Michael.
I have a request. It's a little bit orthogonal to what you were just saying, but related. I have a request for city staff to upload onto at least our onboarding site for Vision 2040, the document that was passed back in 2018 that's called the Committee Operational Procedures.
Thank you. Yes, I second that. Leslie has her thumb up.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much.
No, I think that's something that's a very good idea for us to do.
All right. So now we are moving on to agenda item 6, committee comment. So if you want to just raise your hand, if you have any committee comment that you'd like to offer about upcoming events, cool vision forwarding projects that you've recently learned about, or you know, future agenda items you want to add. Jane.
Hi, everyone. Just a reminder that Pfizer has been approved for booster shots. So if you have received Pfizer as your COVID-19 vaccine and you've had it within the last, it's been 6 months since your second dose, you are eligible for a booster. Public Health has a bunch of pop-up clinics, and they also are operating at the fairgrounds. And we are starting at Samaritan on Saturday, October 23rd. So you'll be getting some information next week in my chart if you are a patient or a hospital on how to schedule and how to come in for your booster shots. So please make sure that if you're eligible, that you're out there getting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Michael?
Well, hopefully everybody's seen the details on it, and she's not here, but we should all congratulate Peggy on winning her award.
Yeah, no, Peggy did was recognized by the Oregon recorders, and she has committed many, many hours to the Oregon State Recorders Association. She served on the National City Clerk's Board. She's chaired the National Conference. She's chaired multiple state conferences, and so she got a well-deserved recognition. So I'll pass that along to her when she gets back on Monday.
Wow. That's so much. Peggy does so much. Yeah. See, that's just more proof that government employees should be eligible for awards.
Of course, I'm government, so I'll say yes.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Peggy.
Yes. Any other committee comment? Buzzley.
Oh, I'll just mention, I forgot to mention when we were talking about work group assignments, Michael did email all of the work group leads some suggestions and catalyzing ideas for potential goals or objectives that are related to strategies for the future year. So if you can't find that in your email, let me know and I'll re-forward it. Also, I did want to mention that any of the work groups that would like, I'd be happy to compile like a list of all the things that I've been following connected to that work group, if you'd also kind of like a catalytic list to get the brains rolling. But it's not necessary if you don't feel like you need that.
Go ahead, Michael.
Leslie, if you're willing, I would like to prepare what I'm proposing as the document that we use to run the meeting. And if I could send that to you for you to add, modify, or change in any way, I would appreciate your time in doing that.
The document to run our past work
group? The F-Focus work group meeting on basically pulling together the report for the year and the nominations and various other things that you have in your list for the meeting.
Oh, I got it. So giving that, yes. Okay, perfect. You're requesting. And then Wayne, you're requesting that as well? Okay, perfect. I get what you're saying. Sorry.
And then I got one other quick announcement. It looks like my computer is going to shut off in 17 seconds. I'm on a city computer and it's telling me it's going to kick me off, but I'll be here listening.
Make sure you check to there's nobody sitting on the back because I got kicked out. My computer died and I was waiting for a while.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. We just need to watch because occasionally somebody may get kicked out. So.
And I was just going to make a couple of announcements, mostly related to our environment working group, but also PSA that King Tides are coming, which are the highest high tides of the year. So in terms of safety, just make sure you're checking the tides. But also Oregon has this really cool King Tide photo project. And so we try to get folks to go out to safely take photos of the King Tides because it's a proxy for what we might be facing with sea level rise, and it can help local government and private property owners prepare for the future and start kind of mitigating those impacts. And it's also just kind of really wild to see how high the water gets. So November 5th through 7th will be the first series of King Tides, and if you Google Oregon King Tide Photo Project, I can't remember the URL right now, you can see the dates that those are coming up. And then also State Parks has reported that our coastal waterways have a lot of debris in them because the rain started up again and it's now bringing those down to estuaries and the beach. So the Newport Surf Rider chapter had a beach cleanup during this meeting, actually, down at Nye Beach. It's their annual, are their monthly beach cleanups coincide with these meetings? So none of us can attend them, but you can tell your friends. And whenever, if you're going to go for a walk, maybe just make sure you take some sort of bag or a bucket with you, since the rain really does bring a lot more debris down our streams and onto the beach. That's it for me. Any other committee comment? Judy.
Well, I will just report, because it'll be in the newspaper this next week, that the Chamber of Commerce is moving forward with Seafood and Wine Festival for 2022. We are requiring a negative COVID test or a proof of vaccination for this event. We're following suit with what some of the colleges are doing, that kind of thing. We are going to scale back in size a little bit because we anticipate that our attendance won't be quite as large. one of the new things that we're going to do is the footprint where the one tent that we're not having would have gone is we're going to open that up to some food trucks. So, and we have found out there is...
We need to talk about that, Judy.
Huh?
We need to talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, maybe food trucks. We shall see. Anyway, just wanted to let you know that.
Great, thank you. You know, people will be really looking forward to things to do, especially traditional things.
I didn't mean to. I just say we need. I need more information. So
okay.
But I just want to say that we're gonna have a newsletter out here probably the first week of November. So watch out in your mailboxes. Just a bit more information about sports and what we're doing and. That's just probably one tenth of the stuff we have going on, but at least it gives you a scope of what's going on.
While some of the Seafood and Wine Festival might be up in the air, we're already seeing reservations for that weekend, so kudos. Hotel All right. reservations.
Great.
When we initially announced that we were doing Seafood and Wine was when the mandates had all gone away and people just went crazy and started booking hotel rooms and vacation rentals and things like that. And I think most of them have held on to those, just waiting to see where we were at with everything.
I think you'd be surprised if you did open up as a full event, how many people would show up, because we have been incredibly busy this summer, this fall, sold out throughout, and people looking for things to do. So I would be, you know, just watch out. It's going to be busy.
And I understand that, but there's a lot of costs involved, and if we were not to have the amount of attendance, that could really hurt the financial situation. As you know, that tent is expensive.
I do know, and I've been trying to get you a new building, but it's not working too well.
All right, any final...
That would be a good need and gap to put into some report.
There you go. Got a little bit of continued uncertainty, but some great things to look forward to. All right. Thank you all so much for spending your evening with us. And let's get that date for next month, Wednesday, November 10th. At 5:30 will be our next meeting. Please let Leslie and or Peggy know if you're not able to attend. And
I just wanted to bring attention to that date. That was the one second Thursday that landed on a holiday. So that is the exemption from the regular rule that is moving that meeting date to the day before at the same time. So I do apologize if Wednesday night is otherwise a conflict for you, but that was just the one that was in the calendar this way.
Yes, thank you. So check your calendars now since it is one day earlier than our standing meeting, and just let Leslie and Peggy know so that way we know if we have a quorum.
So, I know that's Fisherman's Appreciation Day, but that will be in lunchtime. So.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I will plan to see you all on November 10th. And thank you all. I will adjourn the meeting now.
Bye, all.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you all.
Thank you for your time.